The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits, to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. Take no gold or silver or copper in your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for laborers deserve their food. Whatever town or village you enter, find out who in it is worthy and stay there until you leave. As you enter the house, greet it. If the house is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, shake off the dust from your feet as you leave that house or town. Truly, I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. See, I'm sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of them, for they will hand you over to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be dragged before governors and kings because of me, as a testimony to them and the Gentiles. When they hand you over, do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given to you at that time. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will betray brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated all because of my name. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson today gets us to think about mission. We just reflected on the Great Commission recently when we celebrated Trinity Sunday. Though the commissioning in this part of Matthew's gospel is different, in context it's about the renewal of the house of Israel. But I think we can relate to some of the issues that Jesus is raising with the disciples. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Regardless of what kind of organizations you belong or where you work, I think that 80-20 rule always rings true, right? That 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. Plenty of work to be done. Plenty of opportunities for ministry in the world. Certainly there are problems that people are facing. People could use someone to minister to them, but there just doesn't seem to be enough hands. Even when we have a handle of how we can address it, there just doesn't seem to be enough hands. And then there's this issue of, like, we've inherited a model of the church. In fact, our synod office talks about being part of the inherited church. So we don't always know in this kind of age that we're living into as a church in North America, and how do we reach people that are hurting in a broken world? I'm not talking about people who are opposed to the idea of what it means to be church in the 21st century and wanting to just function as we've always functioned before. I'm talking about those who are willing and eager to help and to serve, but just don't know where to begin. Because it's hard to envision being a church that's not already been built up for us. That we just need to make sure that we continue on what's already been built up. You know, people just will come because we have a church sign that says, here's when our service times are. They'll come to Sunday school because they know we have a Sunday school hour. They're going to come to these things because we're just going to announce them. And they're going to come. What do? The world isn't the same today. And because I think Lutherans in particular are used to making new Lutherans through what I call brides, boats, and babies, right? That's what we've been used to for so long in how we build disciples. Brides, in the sense of through marriage, we can get a new Lutheran that way. If we could just get that woman to marry a Methodist, we'll get another one, right? Get them to marry Catholic. Yeah, get another one, right? Boats, immigration, and then babies. You know how that goes. The crowds in our gospel lesson might not be that much different also in our world today. Helpless and hurtful. Where are people going to turn to find peace, to be relieved from their suffering? So when the task of mission sounds daunting, the first thing I want to lift up in our gospel text and take comfort in is Jesus assures us you don't do this alone. You're not alone. This isn't a solo project. This is a group project. So that 80-20 rule, and you feel like, oh man, I'm always at 20%. You're the church, we're to do this together. You're not alone. We engage in this holy work as church. And it sounds like we're invited into a mission, especially in the context of this gospel lesson, to be like a door-to-door salesperson. Doesn't it sound like that? Now, you're not going to do it alone, but you're going to knock on doors. And quite frankly, our experience might be similar to, and I don't mean any disrespect, to the, you know, like Jehovah's Witnesses that might be coming to your door. And like that, our idea of this kind of mission is in like one of proselytizing, to get us to understand their understanding of God, their understanding of religion, and that's what they're convincing us of. And they use scriptures like this to justify that work. A part of me wants to ask sometimes when they come to the parsonage, it's like, do you get bonus points if you get me, right? Because you know I'm the pastor of this church. But that's I think, what we understand that. We're like, we're not about that, are we? Is that really what Jesus is inviting us to do? Kind of what Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, we kind of do by going to people's homes like that? I think it's important to note when reading this gospel lesson, what motivates Jesus to begin with? He's not trying to win people over. He's not trying to sell them a theological treatise. He's not trying to sustain an institution. It says here in Matthew's gospel, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And I can't really break down for you the Greek in that. Doesn't even do it justice. Like, he felt this like in his bowels. Like he really felt for these people. They were helpless. They were sheep without a shepherd. He wanted them to be cared for. So what motivates this mission and ministry is compassion. And there are people in our community that are lost. There are people in our community that are suffering. And they're longing to experience healing and wholeness. Is compassion our motivation? Are we looking at helping the lost, the suffering around us? Are we filled with compassion and asking how best we can serve them, to give them direction, to lift them up, to alleviate their pain? Are we giving, or are we trying to build something? Is this for God, or is this for us? Right? Is this to just fill our pews and balance our budgets? That's not what Jesus is calling us to. Later today, there are going to be some of us that go to Luther Memorial Camp for a week of confirmation camp and church camp. And they're all the participants are going to get to know and meet people of different backgrounds. There are going to be times where some are going to need direction, like literally and figuratively, right? Like, where's that bathroom again, right? Or just direction in their life, where they're at. They might feel helpless. They might need pain alleviated. And camp ministry could be an example of that, on how we don't do this alone. How God gives us community. How there are a community of disciples that God is working through that will pray for us and walk with us and minister to us. And in doing so, give us a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven that has come near. That's the other thing we should take note. Jesus is filled with compassion here. And then he's inviting the disciples to proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Filled with compassion for suffering people, we're to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near, and then embody that. Give people a glimpse of heaven. Far too often, it seems in our context, that Christians are too busy giving people a glimpse of hell, or their announcing of the good news is really just a threat of hell. And there is harsh language in this gospel lesson. We get that image of Sodom and Gomorrah and the towns that don't listen to the disciples. But Stephen Butler Murray points out that the threat to those who do not welcome the apostles and listen to their words is dire, as Jesus invokes divine wrath on the order of what occurred at Sodom and Gomorrah. Particularly interesting about this claim in Matthew is that Jesus does not say that God will punish those who act against God or contrary to the will of God, but that such a radical punishment is appropriately simply for not welcoming and listening to the apostles. So in other words, you could even use this as a lesson in grace. We don't get what we deserve in the end, right? This might be appropriate, but it's not what God wants to give to you. He wants us to be filled with the compassion that he is filled with, to love people as he loves people, and to see the crowd that is lost, helpless, and suffering. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Love people, care for people, try to do what we can to make people whole in how we minister to them through the love of God working through us. The kingdom of heaven has come near. We care about the well-being of people today, not consumed about what happens to us when we depart this earth, but focused on the kingdom of heaven that has arrived. And that arrival of God's kingdom is a threat to the kingdoms of the world. If we take Jesus' lead and we're filled with compassion, how people are hurting and suffering around us, then individually as Christians and as the church collectively, we're going to feel for people as Jesus feels for people. And we're going to be then committed to the plight of our neighbor. And if we're truly committed to the plight of our neighbor, that's going to upset the status quo. Because even in the ministries that we're doing, like a lot of our ministries right now are oriented towards hunger, we might start asking questions if we haven't already. Why are people so hungry in our community? You start poking the bear, right? People want to get, you know, peel back some layers. But that's another piece of that when we announce that the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It breaks the cycles of this world. That's what the cross of Christ does for us. It breaks cycles of this world when we follow the way of Jesus. We're bearing witness to that kingdom that has already here and that will be forever. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of vengeance with forgiveness. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of fear with love. The cross of Christ breaks the cycle of hate with peace. The cross of Christ breaks this cycle of toxic individualism, where we now have reliance on God, love of neighbor, and even can become vulnerable ourselves to be served, to be shepherded by God's holy people. We bring good news into this world. Yet at the same time, Jesus warns us it will not be easy. Sheep sent out in the midst of wolves. We would like to think that having compassion for others would not be so controversial. But as I said, it can poke the bear.
when we point out to the problems and the reasons why this pain and suffering in the world exists, when we challenge it. But following the way of Jesus announces in word and deed that the kingdom of heaven has indeed arrived and is among us. And the big cycle that is broken through the cross in announcing the kingdom of heaven has arrived is that the cycle of death is no more. That is broken. And we do have life eternal. And we're free to go out and to love and serve our neighbor. Beloved children of God, the kingdom of heaven has indeed arrived. It is with us today. May we orient people towards the love of Jesus that will carry them to heaven today. May we orient our lives where people would see the cycles that are broken, all those cycles, and follow the way of the cross, follow the way of Jesus. May we orient our lives to the way of Jesus, and may compassion be our guide in our ministry. May that serve as our compass that brings us home always to our good shepherd, that alleviates our suffering, and that in life and in death, the shepherd is always with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.